The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
During a stormy winter night, protagonist GP Enya Pickering is in Cecilia Hearn's new psychological drama, Into the Storm, driving along on a desperate night. I mean, when I was reading the opening chapter, I was thinking of and the windshield wipers slapping time from Chris Christopherson's great song, Me and Bobby McGee. And that's how it is. Cecilia, welcome.
Thank you very
much. I was
much.
Getting carried away there.
That's okay. That's what I want my book to do. It's probably like the night we had, not last night, but the night before, apparently. Yeah. It was if the whole country was going to be...
A desperate night. And she's driving along a country road. Now, we're not going to do a spoiler, but we can talk about the opening pages of
the book.
Absolutely,
yeah. Because she's driving in the Dublin Mountains and she's in a very stormy night. It's winter solstice. Anyway, 21st of December, the longest night, the darkest night of the year. And she's waved down by a taxi driver.
Now, hang on a second. The thing that I was giving out to myself, her sister rings her on the phone.
Yeah.
And she's driving along in terrible conditions.
Yes.
And instead of telling her sister, will you put the phone down and let me concentrate on her, she has this lengthy conversation about who's going to sit where on Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. Table seating. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a big
topic. And that
topic.
Would irritate the hell out of me. I'm trying to drive here. Will you leave me alone?
Yeah, it's dangerous. She shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's waved down by a taxi driver who's come across a teenage boy on the road. And there's been a hit and run. So she gets out of the car.
She's a doctor, don't forget.
She's a doctor and she performs CPR and she saves his life. But her life as a result splinters in two because she's drawn into this hit and run incident. But she's also reaching the age her mother was when her mother passed away.
Which is
47. 47. And just reading into this, I was fascinated to know all the things that can happen to a person's psyche when this happens, you know. So she feels that she can't see her future past that age. So she's in a very stormy place, as the title suggests.
Now, it's a very complicated family situation because the mother obviously died of heart failure or heart attack or whatever. And she's reaching that age where her mother died. But her mother's living with her all the time in her own imagination because she was a kind of a pagan.
Yeah, she was. And she was a columnist and so wrote about the changing of the seasons. And so it kind of... Enya didn't deal with the grief, the death of her mother at the time, and it's coming back to her in waves. And because her mother drowned, she had a heart attack and drowned, this stormy night is kind of the trigger for that. She feels like she's drowning in the rain and the water, and her mother just keeps returning to her, and it's like she has to deal with it.
Mm.
So yeah, her mother was pagan. She was practicing
now,
pagan.
Now, her husband, who... gets the boot fairly quickly. I don't think that's too much of a spoiler. His Xander.
Yes.
I mean, his full name is Alexander.
Alexander, yes.
Yeah. I read one review where they said, you know, why would anyone put up someone who changes his name from Alexander to Xander? How pretentious.
Well, I'm sure there's lots of lovely Xanders out there.
But mostly they're Alexes, you know.
That's true. That's very true. It's probably more American to be Xander. Yes. They have an unhappy relationship and she leaves the marriage and she has a son, but she moves to the Midlands of Ireland to become a rural GP, which she discovers is quite a different job to her other job, more role in the community. But she's kind of moving away, detaching herself from everyone to lick her wounds because she feels like her days are ending.
Yeah. Now, the whole seasonal nature of this, and we're not talking about the seasons as we know, but more the pagan seasons and bearing in mind the solstices and so on, the winter solstice. And then what's February the 1st?
Imbolc. Yeah,
Imbolc. Then we've got the spring equinox. Then you have Bealtaine.
Yeah.
Then the summer solstice. Then Lunasa, the madness of Lunasa. Mm. And the autumn equinox. And finally Samhain, which we are approaching right now.
Absolutely.
So tell me how all of this kind of infiltrated your writing.
I'll tell you how it came about. I was taking a walk in the Botanic Gardens. Dublin's Botanical Gardens, and I saw a rag tree. They have this beautiful rag tree in the Wild Ireland section. And, you know, a rag tree, most people probably know listening, but it was considered in pre-Christian times to have healing powers. If usually a hawthorn tree, the fairy tree, if it was fed by the water from a holy site, a holy well, or if it's beside an abbey, then it was considered to have cleansing, healing powers. So what people would do is they would take the fabric from people that they love who were ill or dying, tied around the limbs of the tree, and as that rots away, they would hope. So too with the illness of their loved one. And so when I was taking a walk and I saw all these ribbons or pieces of fabric sometimes trinkets.
So people
left.
Were doing this in the Botanic Gardens?
Well, I think they staged it to say what it was, to show what it was. But it did make me remember of, you know, driving around the country as a child, seeing things like this and not actually fully understanding what it was. And I just looked at the tree and I saw stories, you know, that and it was everything that I want to write about, which is the hope, the pain, the love that people have for others. Also, they tie fabric around if they're looking for forgiveness. So I just wanted to write about a rag tree and I had to figure out what kind of character would find themselves in that world. But because it was pre-Christian and pagan times and Celtic times, it gave the kind of mood and atmosphere of the book, which is a little bit, feels a little bit haunting at times.
Yeah, when I was reading about the rag tree, I was thinking, did it become the rag tree because with the hawthorn, with all the thorns, and you get sheep and they, you know, the wool would be torn off the sheep's back by, you know, touching the hawthorn. And then people see that and were inspired maybe to, I don't know.
Yeah, that's only my
fanciful imagination.
Well, that's a fabulous imagination. I should have spoke to you before I wrote it.
Was the writing of this hard?
Yes. Do you know what? I'm writing about a character who's going through a very complex, anxious time. And so I would wake up in the morning feeling that, feeling a heaviness on me, and I think, what's going on in my life that I'm supposed to be worried about today? And I would remember, oh, it's the character. So it did have that feeling. But not to put readers off, it does also have a love, you know, it moves to, it's despair, but it moves towards hope, and it is dark, but it moves towards light. So I always want to keep a balance when I'm writing books. But it is kind of, it's not a thriller, but as it has been said, it has a
there
thriller
feel. There is a denouement,
feel.
Yeah. And there, it, yeah, the question of how you label it, again, in one of the interviews you said, you know, am I domestic noir,
I don't know what
or
I am.
Or am I women's fiction?
I hate labels, as you know. I don't know if I ever fit into any of them, but I write fiction, and if you want a good story, and it's going to be different each time, that's what I want to offer, you know, like any good storyteller.
The suggestion has been that you write about yourself all the time, you know, the various stages and ages you are. And I find it hard to believe that you're in your 40s.
Thank you so much. So do I, because we've known each other for a long time.
For so long, since the very first book, we've been talking about your writing. But obviously your characters age with you.
Yeah, not always. You
not
know,
always,
like, so my next is back into her 30s again. And but I like to mix it up. Different things happen at different characters' times, but I think this is an interesting time. I can identify with it, and I do think as I get older, I'm close to the age of Enya, that I'm getting more in touch with nature.
You're at least 5 years adrift of Enya.
Yes. And of course, when I wrote P.S. I Love You, I was 9 years, and they said that was a big difference. How could I do that? But yes, I do feel that I'm trying to get more in touch with nature, and, you know, it's good for the head, good for the body, good for the mind, and so I have put a lot of that in there for her. Because that's my experience, but I don't always write about myself. But you have to put your real emotions in and life experience.
Yeah. Now you've been through something of the wars with. I'm reading again, and it's not. I don't normally talk about perimenopause, but you have been talking about that.
Only because I was asked. And not. That was. That's a new fun thing in my life, Pat. As I reach this age, but it's. And I think I'm coming through on the other side. It was more. In years gone by, and particularly when I wrote the last novel and I was talking to you about feeling highly sensitive, and that kind of inspired that story. I'm a little less of a whirlwind now, but into the storm.
Have you returned to your own body then?
No, I'm in the new one, and I'm getting to know the new one. The new me, the changed woman.
You also remarked that publishing has changed and it's tougher now. How so?
Oh, it has. It has changed in lots of different ways. We could go on forever, but I think for me it's interesting. You'd think I've written 20 novels, does it get any easier? No, it doesn't. I mean, the writing of the novels, thankfully, I'm comfortable with. It's the business of it, you know, how people are buying books, the distractions that there are, you know, there's TV, there's film, there's social media, trying to get people to read, to go into bookstores to buy them, how we go about selling them, where they're positioned, you know, all of everything, the business that always changes. So And tougher, I suppose, as I move away from the first book that I wrote to reintroduce myself to people and say, this is who I am now, you know.
Yeah. Do you have to do a lot of the book touring promo stuff?
Yes.
Because that is time consuming, although it might be gratifying to meet your readers in person, as it were.
I was very lucky this year. I got some great trips. I was in Dubai for the Emirates Festival and South Africa. So I mean, yes, it is. It's hard work. That's okay. We like that. But it's brilliant to meet people who read my books. And I do take that with me when I go home and have a bad day in the office. I think of those crowds and those people that I've met. And this, I think because I write such emotional stories, people really open up to me when they meet me and share their kind of intimate stories. I appreciate that. And it does kind of motivate me to write the next novel.
Yeah. And you might even get great ideas from some of those stories.
Do you know what I do steal? I steal names. I steal people's names. I'm always on the lookout for that.
Yeah. You know, some of the writers, they sell for charity the right to put your name. You know, Pat Kenny might be in the next book.
Oh, we did this. So in this novel, Margaret Rochford, it was an auction, I think. Her husband got it for her as a prize. And so she is one of the main characters. So I hope she's happy with Margaret. Yeah. I hope Margaret is happy with Margaret.
Yeah. So that is another element to the changing face of the business. But do you still get nervous about the reviews? I mean, when you've written the book, it's gone to the editor and it's being put to bed.
I don't know. I don't know if nervous is the word. There's a kind of a feeling of I've done my absolute best here. There's nothing else I can do. I hope the readers will respond to it. But sometimes I think this is the best book I've written. You know, the last book, I was like, I just don't think I can get any better than this. And not everybody agrees, you know. And some people have said, this is the best book I've ever written. So it's people's opinions. And I think
you don't worry too much about what the critics say.
No, I mean, I'd obviously love everyone to love it, but I don't worry. No, I don't let it change me.
It's a crowded marketplace. So the thing is to get reviews in the first place.
Well, that's it. Absolutely. Yeah. I have to thank John Boyne, actually, who gave me a fantastic review this weekend. I owe him a pint for sure.
Is there a kind of honour among thieves? Do you review his books then, when?
Well, I think I'm going to have to after that. But I do genuinely love all his books. So,
now, what about you had a period where a lot of stuff was going to TV and movies. What's happening now in that world?
I'm still working in that world. We're still working on Postscript, which is the sequel to P.S. I Love You. That's in development. And then also working on another book to film, which I can't announce yet, but we're still working on. So I'm
writing specifically with a movie in mind.
Exactly, yes. A book, we're adapting one of my books to film.
Okay, yeah. And was Roar designed to be adapted?
It was. When I wrote it first, I really saw it as a TV series. Okay. And I did not think that it would be published because of how unusual it was. So I kept trying to get that made for TV first. And then what happened was I had TV interest. And then because there was TV interest, I decided to publish the stories that I'd written. So that was the only one that's worked that way. But because it's such a visual collection, I really wanted it to be on television.
It's how many years since the first one, P.S. I Love You?
Is 20.
It's one a year, isn't
it?
It's really?
20 years since it was published. 22 since I wrote it. Yeah.
Now, how old are your own kids now? They must be getting there.
They are getting there. 14, 12 and 5. Just at the weekend we had. So, yeah, they're
anyone following in your footsteps in the creative world?
They're all creative in their own ways. My little one, my five-year-old, she likes to write books beside me in my office. So I have a little desk set up beside me and she writes her books and I write mine and then she puts hers beside mine on the shelf. So
that's
lovely. It's really lovely. And she has got some good ideas. So I.
Okay. So what's on the desk at the moment?
On the desk at the moment, I've just finished my next book. So I'm going to be editing.
So you're promoing this one even as you're editing the next one?
Yes. And then I'm thinking about the next one, which I begin in January. I'm not stopping, Pat.
No. at the front of this book, and you showed me the hardback illustration, which has, if you like, the pagan seasons.
Yeah, the wheel of the year.
Yeah. And what's this about your mother, Miriam? She's the witch of the family.
Oh, who said that?
I saw that somewhere.
She's studying herbal healing. And she's always been really interested in that. And so we go out foraging together. And she's just brilliant. Everything we grow, she turns into something and something edible, obviously. So
I feel a plot coming on where the mushrooms are not what they seem.
Oh,
as foraged.
That's a very good one. That's a very good one. And apt for my stories too.
All right. Cecilia, it's great having you in the studio. Thank you very much. The new book, as I say, it's we don't know how to describe it. It certainly has elements of the thriller about it and an unfolding of the story, and very atmospheric too.
Thank you.
Into the Storm it is called. And Cecilia Hearn, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.